first, let's welcome in our state senator, District 42 Representative Mike Jacobson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
You made it through a busy weekend.
It was a very busy weekend. A lot of road time getting across to, did three parades, started at with Brady Days in Brady at on Saturday morning, and then we headed up to Stapleton for the Logan County Fair, and we had a kind of fairly brief time there because we had to get through the parade, load the car, head to Mullen, and the parades were 2 hours apart, so we were able to make it up to Mullen and hadn't been up there for a while in Logan or in Hooker County, and so really enjoyed. We did the parade, and then they had the pedal tractor pulling contest, which was pretty cool. And then, of course, turtle races. And then we headed out to the fairgrounds, and they had their roast beef barbecue, and was able to run into a lot of old friends of mine from up in Mullen. And, you know, we had a bank branch up there at one point in time several years ago, and then sold it. So it's it was great to get reacquainted with a number of people from up in that Hooker County, Mullen area. And boy, they had a huge crowd then for their sale afterwards. So just fun weekend, but boy, it there was a lot of things to do. And then we got back yesterday and spent time at first, tried to take part in some of the Rail Days events, and so went out to the train display, which is always pretty cool, and the pancake feed, which I really like pancakes, it was kind of a draw between. You know, Sutherland has great pancakes. I'm telling you that the pancake breakfast over there,
yep,
at the church, those pancakes are really good. But I'll tell you what, the Kiwanis Club, they have some great pancakes too.
All right, we have to get a ranking sheet.
We may need to.
We can't forget firemen, and they're
That is true. The firemen, pancakes are good. Yes.
So between, I know your wife went with you on these. Is she like pulling you to make sure you're keeping time here? Because if it was me, I'd be talking to everybody, and I'd be getting told, hey, we got to go.
Well, we were kind of running into that a little bit there in Stapleton because they had root beer floats. Okay, so I did come while we were driving through the parade and I saw them and I put up my fingers and said, "Yeah, we'll take two." And they're thinking, "Do you want them right now?" I'm thinking, "How about if we come back and get them?" Because we were kind of moving along. And so then I came back. So we came back and so we had the car loaded. And we were just drove by there and kind of ran it kind of as a drive through. And I said, you know, I just didn't realize that Stapleton had a lot of drive throughs here. And they said, yeah, we're not open every day, but today you're in luck. We're open. We have the drive through for the root beer floats.
Root beer floats are a good one.
They're really good. They were really good. It was a nice to have those on the drive up to Mullen. And I got to tell you, we went across on Highway 92. And I don't know when the last time was I went across on 92, but boy, what a gorgeous
view.
That is
a good road, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And it's pretty awesome up there right now. This season is
really looks like your shirt this morning.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of sunflowers up in the Sandhills.
Well, I want to correct you on that now, just so you know, because I looked at that and I was referring to them as sunflowers, and my wife made it pretty clear to me that that's called Goldstrom.
Oh, okay.
They're not sunflowers.
Oh, and we will not argue with the master gardener.
Do not be arguing with the master gardener. I tried that one time. Didn't work out right.
Back in 72, and it didn't work.
It didn't work then, and I decided not to ever try it again.
Very good. All right. Goldstrom.
And the Goldstrom.
All right.
And I'm telling you what, though. We're driving along, and you look across. What a gorgeous! I mean, the Sandhills are gorgeous anytime, but when you look at that green grass, and then just that gold cast as you look across the landscape, it just what a view!
Absolutely. Talking with State Senator Mike Jacobson. Let's move into something now. I know the Lincoln County Commissioners, and we'll have them in tomorrow again to recap their morning meeting. That's in about 45 minutes. Last couple weeks, they've mentioned this for various reasons. Wind turbines, they've been trying to set some regulations for this potentially down the road.
Well, I know I'm going to step on some toes with this comment, but I'm not a fan of wind energy. And in fact, a fan would be maybe giving them way too much credit. We're all into trying to figure out alternative energy sources, and I'm all in favor of alternative energy, alternatives to fossil fuels, and ultimately we're going to need to get there. But if we want reliable power for the foreseeable future, we're going to be getting it from fossil fuel generated energy, or we're not going to have it. But I think when we start looking at the future demands of energy, and particularly electricity with electric vehicles and further industrial growth and so on, we're not going to get there by using wind generators, okay, unless you want one on every square foot in this country. I mean, it's just not feasible. And furthermore, they have a lifespan there, and in fact, I was in a Walmart parking lot here this last weekend, and here's a truck, a semi there that had cut up, they'd cut down wind generator parts that were laying on there, and it was an old wind turbine that was being hauled off somewhere to be dumped in a scrap pile somewhere. And so that's one of the issues, is that I am concerned that there's some very lucrative leases being offered to farmers and ranchers to put these wind generators on their farms. Well, when you construct them, there's a tremendous amount of concrete that goes down, just like you did back in the days with the harvestors. There's a huge hole that's filled with concrete and rebar. And that, I'm telling you what, that's not going away once you take the generator down.
And it's a lot more than most people think, because not only does it have to hold the tower standing up, but it's got to be deep enough and strong enough to handle the wind loading.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. So. Yes. You look at that, and of course, I think the issue that they're going to be dealing with is what's the setback requirements from your property line. And, you know, and that brings you up into, you know, zoning regulations and property rights. And so it's a complicated issue. But, you know, and I would just tell you that as a property owner, you know, I want the government to stay away from me. I want to be able to use my property. If I own it, I should be able to do what I want to on it. But then you got to remember that you've got neighbors. Neighbors have property rights, too. And so when your property rights start, you know, impacting my property rights, that's where zoning laws come in, and that's where these kinds of regulations come in. A lot of people come to the country and they want to own a place because they like the view, just as we talked about before. They like that scenic landscape. They like being away from the noise. They like the peace and serenity of being in the country. And then you get out there and somebody's got a wind generator right next to you, and you're hearing that sound from the wind generator running, and you're taking, yeah, that's exactly, yep, that's exactly what it is. And so what's the right thing to do? And how much does government interfere, and how much does government protect? And that's the push-pull that the commissioners are going to have to look at. So I applaud them for bringing the issue. I'm not a county commissioner, and so I'm not going to tell them what they should do. And one thing I learned early on, and I vowed early on, and I've had this conversation with the mayor as well. You know, I know where my lane is, and so when I'm here for a ribbon cutting in North Platte, and I go to the ribbon cutting, I'm there as a constituent of the mayor, and the mayor should be doing the speaking, not me. And when it comes to county commissioners, they've got their responsibilities here in the county, and you're not going to see me interfering with what they need to get done because I'm one of their constituents. And so I think sometimes politicians get beyond, try to get outside of their lane and get involved elsewhere. That's not my deal. My deal is really helping to understand the issues that they're dealing with and help them communicate to others just the issues that they have to deal with and what they're trying to do to really make this a better place to live.
Talking with State Senator Mike Jacobson here, you know, and you talk about, so where is this at? I will have to talk to the county commissioners, but with regulations right now, they're just trying to set rules and regulations or even look at them to see potentially if it's something they want to.
I believe right now, I don't quote me on this, but I think there's a setback requirement right now, maybe 2 miles, and I think they're looking at maybe pushing that back a little bit further. Again, it's a setback requirement, and setbacks, as we find in town as well, you know, how close could you get to the property line? You have to have a certain amount of setback. You know, the state's going to require that, the county's going to require that in terms of highways and so on, that you can't be right up next against it. And so that's a setback.
Gotcha.
And so how far should these be set back away from the property line? And of course, keep in mind, if you've got a small acreage, you're going to be limited on doing a lot of things because the setback requirement might be more than what you even have acreage to deal with. You know, we deal with that same thing, and I discuss this in my article. It'll be out this week. You know, we find the same thing when it comes to livestock facilities. You know, if I've got a cattle feed yard and it's out, you know, 20 miles away from here, and then all of a sudden people start bringing housing development there, and then they tell me you got to shut my feed yard down because you're interfering with the odor. You know, well, wait a minute, I was here first.
Right.
You know, now at the same time, if I want to go locate a livestock facility right next to town, yeah, that's kind of a problem. Okay, now all of a sudden you're going to interfere with the property rights of those who came here because they want to live in a city and they want to be away from that. So those are some of the decisions that zoning, both the city and the county, have to deal with from time to time on, you know, what's the right mix and how do we handle those issues to make it fair to everyone.
Where is the closest wind turbine facilities in our area?
Well, you see them every, you know, it's amazing where they're at. I mean, you see a lot of them up if you a lot of them generally are built with a cluster.
Right.
But you see some individual ones being built for people that kind of want to have something. But in most cases, you'll see multiple facilities there. And I know there's a push to put some up into the sand hills, and there's tremendous pushback on that, and I don't blame them, because one of the concerns that I have, again, with these wind generators is they're not efficient. They don't make economic sense if you net out the tax benefits that go with it. In fact, we had an interview, and there was a bill before us in the legislature this past year before Natural Resources Committee. And, you know, I asked one of the promoters, I said, how many wind generators would be built if there were no tax subsidies? And there was just dead silence.
Not many.
I said, would it be zero? Well, it probably wouldn't be zero. And I said, well, I agree, it probably wouldn't be zero. There'd be people who will build them just because they love green energy and they'll lose money operating them. But the fact of the matter is that they're not very cost effective. And really, I think we need to recognize the fact that nuclear, small nuclear, and sodium reactors are going to be the future of energy. And so as we start looking at the EVs, electric vehicles that are going to be built, and the higher electrical demand, I am convinced that ultimately we will be operating with nuclear power. And people say, oh my God, nuclear, that's bad. Well, you know, we have nuclear submarines that have been around for decades. And those nuclear submarines have nuclear reactors on them, and they totally power. That's a total power source for the power, the lights, everything.
Water desalination, everything.
Exactly. They desalinate the water whole nine yards. The breakthroughs that they've had, particularly in small nuclear and these sodium-cooled reactors, we've got a bank branch in Rock Springs, Wyoming. There's a little town south of Rock Springs called Kimmer. And Kimmer, Wyoming, has under construction now a sodium-cooled nuclear plant under construction. I believe Bill Gates is actually the owner.
That's interesting. A sodium-cooled graphite-moderated reactor. It's a very good design.
Yes.
We had one in Nebraska. Hallam Station was originally that.
Yeah.
And then when it hit its lifespan and decommissioned, they built a coal-fired plant on top of it.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that the breakthroughs that have occurred over the years, particularly with this sodium cooled, in fact, I was visiting with an individual who is actually from Nebraska, from Ogallala, and David Gale put me onto this individual, and we chatted, and his son is involved in the development of this nuclear facility, or nuclear technology. There's a place down in Houston where they're doing this work. Evidently, the federal government had a facility in Tennessee where they were doing nuclear work for energy production.
Oak Ridge National Laboratories.
That's exactly right. And that's where they came up with this sodium design. And now here's an interesting thing. If you were in California, they could take salt water, bring salt water in, and the sodium, it would remove the process. In terms of making this nuclear power, would be through the sodium that's in the water, and the byproduct would be potable water.
Yeah, clean water out of it.
Now, if you're in California, wouldn't that be a good thing?
There's a lot of things that would be good in California.
They would.
But it just doesn't work out there.
It just doesn't work out there. That's right. But, you know, there's a lot of work being done right now. And so one of my concerns, and I think as I look at some of these wind generators, is when you start talking about what it takes to put those up, and then you think about what's the future of energy, it isn't windmills. It's not windmills. And so once those people that are leasing them decide they're done, okay, let's make sure those leases are set up to where those towers are coming down.
Right.
And that they're going to
return it back to the regular landscape.
Bingo.
The original landscape.
Bingo.
Which and means digging out all that concrete and rebar. That's going to be expensive.
And the risk you always have is if that money isn't escrowed, do those companies that are actually doing the leasing, are they shell companies and they just bankrupt themselves and they walk away and you're left with a tower?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some horror stories from that.
That it's predictable.
At the present time, what do you do with all those parts? You mentioned the parts that are wrong. The blades are a big point of contention because there's no real good thing to do with them after you're done. They're mainly fiberglass and some steel mesh. But go up near Gillette, Wyoming.
Yeah.
They are building a mountain out there. In the mountain, there are blades, and then they're buried, and that mountain keeps getting higher and higher.
And the other place they're going is Arizona, and they're dumping them in the desert, and they're above ground.
Yep.
And we had a bill in the legislature where we were talking about that as well to ban the disposal of those in Nebraska. So and part of it gets back to what you just said, Rick. The materials that they're made of, it's not going to decompose.
No, they were meant to withstand the weather, and about the only thing they don't withstand well, and that's why we have spares around or extras that go get buried, is lightning strikes.
Yeah,
that tends to heat up and delaminate the fiberglass and carbon fibers, so they're no good after that.
State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us here this morning. About out of time. Anything else you'd like to mention here this morning?
Just kind of unbelievable that school starts this week.
Right.
I mean, where did the summer go? And I would just tell you that I really enjoy getting out to these parades and getting around people. I appreciate people coming up to me and telling me what their concerns are, what their issues are. That's how I understand what your needs are. We're working on drafting bills now. We've got a couple in the hopper that we're working on. Joe's been pretty busy all summer deconstructing all the bills that were passed this last year to figure out what was in them. And we're also busy now drafting some legislation for this next year. I do meet with the governor next week. He did add me to his working group on property valuations. And so that group will have the first of four meetings next week at the governor's residence in Lincoln. I'm looking forward to that meeting. I think what a big thrust of that is, again, valuations for property values. We're trying to figure out what's consistent and what's fair. What's fair in terms of how properties are valued. And we want it to be consistent in every county. Okay. And we want to have it fair in terms of making certain that when we ultimately add a mill levy to it and a tax charge, that people are paying taxes that are appropriate as to what other property values and other property owners are paying. So that's really the purpose of that tax force or that working group. I'll be the only Western Nebraska senator and the only one that represents agriculture on this part of the state. So I feel kind of a heavy responsibility.
Yeah, do us proud there.
Well, I'm feeling the pressure. Everybody else on the committee I'm the only one west of Lincoln. I'm the only senator west of Lincoln on that working group.
There's a lot west of Lincoln.
There's quite a bit west of Lincoln.
Well, thank you so much. Good luck with that, and we'll see you next. What do we have this week for parades and festivals?
Do we know, I'm trying to think here. Julie kind of points me in the right direction. We got Hershey coming up.
Yeah.
And that one's, I think that's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think this next weekend, we've got some other things going on here in North Platte. And then I think I've got to be in Kearney for an event next Saturday night. And then the governor's Ag and Economic Development conferences this week, so we'll be heading over to that on Tuesday and Wednesday.
You know what I think we ought to do? We get a map of Nebraska here in the studio and put a pin wherever he's going, you know, based in North Platte, and then use the colored string coming back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see what kind of spider web we have built by the time the election cycle comes around.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm looking at the miles of my vehicle already, and I put a ton of miles on. I get a lot of road time. But I tell you what, I do enjoy it, and I appreciate the support that I've got along the way. And again, don't be afraid to talk to me about what your concerns are, and that's what I'm down there for. And at the end of the end, that's what makes it all makes the time commitment worthwhile.
Well, thank you for your time here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.